You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're in Midtown Sacramento along J Street, it is hard to walk past Ginger Elizabeth without going inside for something indulgent. I mean, you deserve it, right? The chocolatier has been satisfying our sweet tooth for close to 20 years with a footprint that has grown across the country, from chocolates to macarons, pastries, coffee, ice cream, a pantry of snacks like hot chocolate, marshmallows, jams, and Oaxacan spice syrup. There are just too many excuses to leave with treats for yourself or for others. And we are hitting prime time gift giving season. Chocolatier Ginger Elizabeth Hahn joins us now with more on her story, which begins in the El Dorado County foothills, as well as the gourmet items she's preparing just for the holidays. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
A literal treat. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, I'd love to just start from the beginning. Where does your story of baking and chocolate making, where does it begin?
It begins a long time ago. So, you know, one of the first memories I have was I've been like, you know, making oatmeal since I was four. But when I was six, I remember specifically whipping cream for strawberry shortcake, and the beaters got caught in my hair. And I was like, oh, and then, you know, it's just kind of one of those core memories where you're like, oh, I've been doing this for a really long time. But of course, I kept my hair back ever since then. But, you know, it started with an easy bake oven and a Barbie ice cream machine, and it's kind of taken off from there. But really with my mom and my grandmother in their kitchens, you know.
And you're from Apple Hill, correct?
Yes, I am. And, you know, one of the biggest important memories I have is taking my dog down to the creek. We used to live on a few acres and, you know, just picking blackberries, and my mom would come home and turn them into something amazing in 5 minutes. And so that always piqued my interest, and, you know, just picking apples and making something instantly delicious. So it was, you know, that kind of connection with the farm and the land and Mother Nature, and then cooking, and then enjoying it as a family together. It all stuck with me.
Apple Hill during this time of year is incredibly popular on the weekends. You see that traffic on Highway 50 in El Dorado County. How much has your hometown an area changed since you were a child?
Well, so I used to work at High Hill so I started working there when I was 14. I got a work permit and I worked there when I was 14, 15 and 16. So those seasons, and, you know, because they're only open from Labor Day, I think, through Christmas or something like that. It kind of used to die down around like the beginning of November. And then I was up there last weekend or two weekends ago and it was still packed. So, and you know, they have the billboard signs, like, so it is a lot busier. High Hill, it was always busy, but now, you know, it seems ridiculous. You can't even like maneuver. But it's good. It's good that someone, you know, people know about it, and the farmers can make a living. And, you know, it's an exciting time. I know it's busy and it can be annoying for locals, I'm sure. But I loved working up there. I was a barista and I used to sling apple pie and scoop ice cream. So that's what I did.
Well, you still are kind of doing that today in your own shop. Was it just a straight arrow path towards chocolate making, or just the culinary field in general? I mean, you talked about your childhood, or did you have other career aspirations growing up, or was this just it and you were hard set on it?
No, this was it, and I was hard set on it. So I used to pretend to be Julia Child when I was 5 years old in front of my sisters, and I was really hard set. We didn't have TV shows like we could watch, like, in, you know, like, we didn't have cable up in Camino years ago. And so I used to watch like Great Chefs of the West on Discovery Channel, and like they never gave the measurements, so I used to like watch them and like try to see, like, and try to guess what they were measuring, and then go test it out in my home, in the kitchen. And so it was, I don't know. That's part of what I did, growing up.
Your culinary education took you to New York, and you could have, you know, stayed there, worked at established shops, even came back here. Was there a definitive moment in your life when you're like, I got to branch out on my own and do this on my own, start my own business?
Yeah. And so you were talking about the straight arrow. So chocolate I didn't really start getting into chocolate until I was 17 years old, but I had started studying, like working in bakeries, studying wedding cakes. I worked in Chicago at an American bakery. I worked at the Ritz-Carlton in Chicago. I worked at a cake factory in Poughkeepsie. And I worked at a chocolate shop, Jacques Tres Chocolates, in Brooklyn 20 years ago. And so I worked at all these jobs, and chocolate really just held my heart. Like I loved it. And so it wasn't a complete straight shot to chocolate, but it was definitely always in the culinary field. Like even for high school, one of my projects was Pangea pastry for entrepreneurship project. So I always knew I wanted to be in that space. But yeah, as far as just like grinding and working in New York, I did it. I worked in New York for 4 years. I worked in Chicago, and, you know, I didn't like the lifestyle. It was very old school, like getting stuff thrown at your feet and getting yelled at. And I came back to California when I was 23. And I worked for, you know, a chef who liked to drink and all the things. And I was like, I'm done. So that's why I really stepped into my business at a very young age, because I was done with the I was really done with the behavior in the industry.
Hmm. Yeah. What do you think it is about chocolate that stands the test of time?
It's 100%, well, good chocolate, right? So it is the way it melts. A lot of people be like, oh, it's, you know, it's how it tastes. And it's like, yes, it's all of these amazing things. Like it's, you know, it spikes these endorphins that, like, or, you know, this chemical in your brain that's the same as falling in love. And like, I believe all of that because, you know, it's an aphrodisiac, you know, all these things. It's like, but it's beautiful. It's sensual. It's like, it's all the things. It's all the different shades. Like, it's so pretty. But I think it's the way it melts on our palate. So when you're talking about really good chocolate, and something that I don't think people identify as much as this, oh, I'm having this great flavor experience, I just like the way it makes me feel type thing, I think mostly a big part of it, when you're eating Couverture chocolate, this good chocolate with, like, you know, cocoa butter in it from the plant, not other fats added to it, it's the way it melts perfectly on the human palate.
Ah. The way it just kind of sits on your tongue and just kind of melts away.
Yeah, so cocoa butter, when it's tempered and properly formed, these crystals, when, you know, the back of our mouth is 98, the tip of our tongue is 92, and cocoa butter just happens to melt at that perfect temperature, right between those temperatures. And so I see people eating chocolate and throwing their heads back a lot. And so it's not just this flavor experience, it's the whole experience of how it melts and the texture and everything like that. So
what I love about going into your shop is, of course, eating what you make, but also, you know, you have a window so you can actually see people working, you know, at Ginger Elizabeth off J Street, which brings me to the fact that when you're making chocolate, I mean, there's a lot of creativity. There's also a lot of science behind it. Can you peel back the curtain a little bit? Help us visualize, you know, all that it takes to make your chocolates, as well as your other treats and snacks, too. I would imagine there's some experimenting that goes on, and it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah. So mostly my job these days is I formulate recipes. So I sit with a spreadsheet, you know, and I just try to get all of my percentages and my formulas right. And so when you're looking at like a chocolate per se, right, like a ganache based French style cut truffle, which is what we do, and we call them chocolates. You can call them bonbons. But there's a ton of science that goes behind, because you want to, you know, I want to preserve it, but you don't want to put too much sugar in it. You want to have this really creamy balance, and you don't want it to break, you know, because ganache is basically just an emulsification of fat and water. And the fat is, if you think about fat, the fat is your chocolate and the water's coming from your cream, and you're emulsifying that. So to make a very beautiful chocolate, it takes a lot. And then on top of it, what it gets coated in is very, very important to me. I like a very, very thin coating with a Couverture chocolate. So Couverture chocolate has to have at least 28% cocoa butter in it. And cocoa butter, when it's melted on its own, if you see it, it looks like oil. I mean, it's not oil, but that's the consistency. So you have this very beautiful flowing chocolate. And if you've ever melted chocolate chips, they're not a Couverture chocolate. They look like mud, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with this chocolate that has to be tempered. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of science behind that. Cocoa butter is a polymorphism. And I mean, I could go on and why it has to be tempered. But I love this beautiful thin, you know, shell that's going on. And every recipe we do has a lot of time and thought. So like, I always ask people, I have them taste the Eureka lemon bonbon. And I ask them, in this ganache, do you think there's cream? And they go, well, yeah, isn't that what a ganache is? I'm like, well, I don't know, right? Because so we get all these beautiful lemons, organic lemons from Good Humus Farm, and we get about 800 pounds a year, and we juice them, and we freeze that juice and use it throughout the year. But I love to break down the cream, even like what's inside a cream. Well, cream is 60% water, 40% butterfat, right? So to get as much lemon flavor as possible, I take out the cream and I just replace it with butterfat and lemon juice. And so that's what I do, is I tinker, but there's just a lot of thought. Like one of our frozen macaron sandwiches, there's like five recipes that go into one product. So there is a lot of time and care and slow food. And then there's a lot of science and thought behind all of the products.
And what I'm hearing from you, I mean, a lot of precision, and also there's a delicateness to it as well. You also partner with farms and purveyors locally in the area. Where do you draw your inspiration from? Because some of your chocolates, or a lot of them, they're really creative. I mean, where do you get your inspiration from?
So it's interesting. There's a lot of different chocolate companies out there, and some people are like really focused on like spices around the world. I guess I would be boring in the way that we just do, like, we really only make things locally. So, like, you'll never see banana, mango, things like that. I've tinkered with them before. But, like, I feel like it's my duty to make sure we're doing everything as local as possible. So, like, where I draw my inspiration, walnuts, like, would be a great example. Full Belly Farm organic walnuts. I just didn't ever like walnuts because I didn't. And then I'm like, well, maybe they weren't roasted properly, or maybe I wasn't putting them in the correct application. So then I made this like walnut shortbread, and then I ground it up and made a walnut praline, and then I put them together. And so we make this amazing roasted walnut shortbread praline chocolate with Full Belly Farm. So it's really being like, okay, what's around us? What do we have access to? What's prolific in this area? What can we be proud of? And what are the farmers doing? And I don't know. I just feel so grateful. But that's where I draw a lot of my inspiration, is like, what can we get locally and shed light on?
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with chocolatier Ginger Elizabeth. Before we dive into what you're offering for the holidays, you know, we just laid out a lot of the work and the sweat equity that you put into your business and your creations. What are your most requested items? I'm curious. Do you have some that rise up to the top?
Yes. So our salted caramel macaron is probably one of our most popular items, along with our Palador chocolate. We do have a caramel collection, and in that caramel collection is a fleur de sel caramel that is a very popular, so you know, caramel's a theme for us. And I'd say one of very popular items, our chocolate chip cookie and our salty caramel frozen macaron sandwich.
I personally like your Oaxacan spice syrup. I love that. And I put it in my coffee a lot. So that is one of my favorite items.
So our Oaxacan hot chocolate with marshmallows. So if you come into the shop, you can get it with marshmallows or whipped cream. So the most popular drink on our books to date is the Oaxacan with added marshmallows.
And now when it comes to the holidays, I know you come up with special creations just in time, you know, for this season, which is perfect for gift giving. What do you have prepared for this year?
So we have a lot of exciting things. The number one thing that we're so excited about is our 2024 Advent calendar.
And it's shareable, right?
It is shareable, which makes us really unique. So there's two pieces inside each day. So there's 24 days in the Advent calendar, and it's, you know, anything from, I actually grew this very specific chocolate peppermint just for the calendar. So we infuse that to make a chocolate peppermint little bonbon or chocolate. And then, you know, we use Daniel's Family Farms pecans to make a pecan pie chocolate. So there's just these really amazing little treats in each day.
That is wonderful. And I guess, and I love that it's shareable. I mean, you brought one in. It's a big advent calendar. It's not like the thin one that you see when you pick it up at the grocery store and it's a small chocolate, you know, when you open it for each day.
Yeah, no. So it's
too thick.
Yeah, it's 2 inches deep. And yeah, you get to pull out a little drawer every day.
That's wonderful. What else do you suggest people buy for the holidays as gifts? You know, maybe someone who's more budget conscious, but still loves Ginger Elizabeth.
Absolutely. So we have our peppermint bark just went on the shelf. So we hand make all the candy that goes into it. We chop it up and we do we layer it with bittersweet chocolate and peppermint white chocolate. And it's just it's really lovely. So we have that. We have a lot of lists. We have 24 piece box, I'd say, is like the most popular, like all around, like corporate gifting and for like just like friends, like giving to friends or hostess. Like the 24 piece box seems to be like the most popular item. But we have everything. Like you could, we have a 2 piece box, we have a 6, 12, like whatever, you know, you feel like you want to give, right? And we have something for everyone. And even like chocolate bars, I'd say one of the most bought bundled item is our hot classic hot chocolate tin with the marshmallow and the Oaxacan syrup. So people get that and put that together as a gift.
I'm curious, when we've had either chefs on or other restaurant owners on here on Insight, you know, a theme is what I've asked them, you know, when you're off the clock, do you actually cook and bake at home? And sometimes they'll say like, no, like that's the last thing I'll do. I'll eat like a frozen meal or something. So now that you have the holidays coming up too, just like the rest of us, do you work hard away at the kitchen or just kind of take a sip back?
Well, the amazing thing is that I can go into my store and I can pick out anything I want to bring to, you know, my sister's or my mom's and dad's house or whatever. But I do cook. I actually cook a lot more savory food these days. So I just got really yummy bones from V. Miller Meats, and I made bone broth, and like I got tallow from it, and I've been, you know, like, so I love the whole, just I love going to the Davis or the Sacramento, you know, any of these local farmers markets, and like that's one of my favorite things to do nowadays is get stuff that like food produce that's just picked right from the ground, getting meat locally sourced from a regenerative farm, and just making food in my kitchen with my kids. And so I do cook, and I think one of the most exciting things to make is an apple pie, because they are the hardest things on the planet to get perfect. Anyways, yeah, I do cook. I love it.
Finally, before we let you go, you're growing. Aren't you opening another location sometime soon?
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking. I was like just so in the moment with you about all this stuff. Yes, we're opening up in Folsom. So my mom and dad live up there. My sister, I have a sister in Eldorado Hills, a sister in Folsom, but we're kind of from up in that area. Obviously, we spoke about that. And I just feel really called to open up a store. You know, when I teach classes, 80% of the people are either from Roseville or Folsom that come, and people have been begging me for years and years. And we found a spot that was just so beautifully built out already. And so I'm really excited. So we get the keys right after Thanksgiving. We're doing a pop-up. It's in Broadstone Shopping Center. So we're doing a pop-up for a month, and then we're going to remodel in January. And then the whole store, you know, Ginger Elizabeth experience will be open right before Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're just around the corner. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It was great to have you on.
Thank you.
That is chocolatier Ginger Elizabeth sharing her origin story up in Apple Hill, as well as the special items that she's preparing for the holidays. Still ahead, as you know, the holiday season, it is here, and we are bringing back an Insight tradition, pairing the best wine to go with music. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.